waiting on spring.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's been a good day to be praying, wasn't it?
Let me talk that kind of language in here.
It's just such a good day to do.
No, I'd rather go fishing in a mud hole for carp. Be out there in that place today.
Especially nights, yeah.
Yeah, that's the, forgetting those things.
Yeah.
Press on with those things on our head.
Okay, Haggai.
Haggai.
Haggai, chapter 1. We got down to verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8. Okay, we're talking about here rebuilding the temple. Haggai 7 and 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good passage for anybody,
Amen. Everybody,
anywhere, anytime, any dispensation.
That's
go up
right.
to the mountain, bring wood, build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. All right, he's talking about building the temple here. Now, we looked at last week what's going on over there in Israel, the mosque. There's two mosques on the place where the mm-hmm. temple's got to be built. We looked at their options and what they can do to get their temple built. We looked at several options that they can. Now, we know the temple's got to be rebuilt.
It's going to be.
Because it's going to be. It's going to be rebuilt because the Antichrist is going to go in, sit
yeah.
down in that thing.
Right.
And proclaim himself as God. It's called abomination, desolation in Matthew 24.
Yeah.
That temple's going to be built. It's going to be torn down again.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Christ comes back, second advent, it's going to be built back. It'll be the millennial temple that he'll rule from for 1,000 years. Now, all right, right now the Jews are fully prepared to rebuild the temple when the mosques are removed. August 4th, 1967, British Christian Magazine said 500 rail cars shipped from New York to Jerusalem from Pier 26. Rail cars were loaded with pre-cut limestone from Bedford, Indiana. Secretary of the Limestone Institute in America in Sellersburg, Indiana, said the limestone is similar to Jerusalem limestone. Jewish masons were brought to Bedford to study pneumatic drills for stone cutting. In 1991, the head of the Jewish group called the Temple Mount Faithful had a 4-ton cornerstone prepared for placement. Since then, they've tried every 6 months to lay the cornerstone on the Temple Mount. But the governments of the world and the Muslims stop it. They put a stop to it. They ain't allowed them to do it yet. You know what that cornerstone represents, by the way?
Christ
said he was the cornerstone.
Mm-hmm. Right,
okay. Since 1968, the Muslim Council in Jerusalem said the Muslims will never permit any Jew to pray in this area. They said, we are prepared to die for this. And they will die for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will die.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Good thing ain't up to them.
Yeah, Amos 9:11. They're going to die because the temple's going to be built.
Mm-hmm.
Right, amen.
It's going to be built. So they'll die trying to stop it. Hosea, Joel, Amos.
Yeah.
9:11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. So, Muslims die. They said they're going to die. They'll die to stop it. Well, they're going to die, because it's going to be built. 2 Samuel 6. Let me see. We're looking at Acts 15:16, New Testament on the thing. God's word on it in the Old Testament, God's word on it in the New Testament. Acts 15:16 says, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. And no telling how many will die when that takes place. Because that's when the Lord comes back, the second advent, and he stomps this world system.
Yeah.
Wipes out all his enemies, and then he sits down and he goes to Jerusalem. He's going to have that temple rebuilt. He's going to rule and reign there 1,000 years. And you'll get to rule and reign with him.
Yeah.
We'll be with him. Boy, it's going to be someday.
Amen.
It's going to be something.
What I find interesting, brother, about Acts 15:16, just that one verse, he's got three I wills.
I will, yes, sir.
I will. It ain't no maybe or, yeah. If, or if or but or nor.
So and who I said will. It? Who compromise. Said it gives it for us, too? God said it.
Yeah.
Compromise and ask somebody about it.
Yeah.
Honest
yeah. No controversy.
No.
No controversy.
Amen.
Now, the tabernacle of David was a tent that was set up for the Ark of the Covenant when he brought it back to Jerusalem. Look at 2 Samuel 6:15-17. It was a tent then. Just a tent. 2 Samuel 6:15-17. So 2 Samuel 6:15-17. Say, where are you going with this? I'll show you in a minute. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And that cost her. You read on, you'll see that cost her. She was pronounced childless. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in a place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for. Pitched for. It wasn't built, it was pitched. It was a tent. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. 1 Chronicles 15:1. Take a right. 1 Chronicles 15:1. 1 Chronicles 15:1. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. A tent. That's what it was. Look at 16:1. Now it came to pass as David sat in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in this house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Under curtains. Tent. That thing was a tent. Now.
16:1?
Yeah.
Huh? Did you say
16:1? Did I read 16:1?
No.
I thought
so
I did.
They brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered okay. burnt sacrifice and right. peace offering.
All right. Proof text is the tent. That's what I'm trying. I'm proving. I'm not just talking. You know, if I say something, I want to prove it with Scripture. If I can't prove it with Scripture, then I have to present it as my theory or others' theory.
Yeah.
But it was a tent. Now, you say, what are you saying there? Right now, they don't have a temple. Right now, a tent is sufficient for the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the real Ark of the Covenant is in heaven. If you've read your Bible, it was raptured. It's in heaven now, but they have a replica, and they keep it. They can keep it in a tent and be in line with the Scriptures. But pretty soon they're going to build a temple for the thing, and they're going to Christ is going to sit in that temple and rule 1,000 years. Now the Jews are waiting. And they're setting up the temple. All they need is a tent for the ark. Now, the Temple Institute in Jerusalem has all the furniture, all the utensils prepared for the temple. They've got it set up and ready to go. Now, through DNA testing, they have identified the Levites, and they're training them in a temple ritual with proper clothing. They're doing full dress rehearsals right now over there in Israel. And you know, 30 years ago, they did not know who the Levites were. They could not separate the Levites from any other tribes. Wasn't any way to do it until they come up with DNA testing. Now they know who the Levites are. And you know, according to Scripture, the Levites have to take care of the temple work. Has to be a Levite. No other tribe can do it. So what I'm saying here right now, everything is set up over there. For the second advent of Jesus Christ, for him to come in and set everything up. It's all set up. And what that means is you ought to look up. It's set up, so look up. Because our redemption's close. Our redemption's close. Before that thing starts, we got to go out. According to the Scripture, we got to go out. Now, we can see those mosques crumble. We can see them start working on that temple. But it's ready to go. Everything's ready to go. And that means that we don't have much time left. Pretty soon the rapture's going to take place. You say you're setting dates? No, I'm not going to set any dates. I don't know any dates. The Bible gives the exact time of the rapture. It gives the exact time of the second advent. But we don't know. We can't pin it down because our calendar's off. Our calendar's off and we don't know how much it's called. We don't know what Pope Gregory did to the calendar. When he messed with it and changed it. Right now, if the rapture takes place this year, I was telling somebody the other day.
Me? I think.
I don't know.
We were talking about it.
If the rapture takes place this year, the advent will take place 7 years later. The advent, according to this book, will take place in the year 2000 on God's calendar.
Right.
Now, we've looked at the 1,000-day-year system. Remember, we've talked about that. From Adam to Christ, 4,000 years. From Christ to Advent, 2,000 years, that's six. The seventh year, the millennial reign. Now, we talked about that. So on God's calendar, the second advent will be 2000 A.D. on his calendar. So the calendar is off right now. If the rapture takes place this year, it's off. It's really about 1993 if the rapture takes place this year. So it'll be 7 years, tribulation, advent, year 2000. So it's off. It's way off. We don't know. But one thing you got to keep in mind, you say, how long can this thing go? It can go on. There's three generations given in the Bible. One generation is 33 and a half years. One generation is 42 years, Matthew 1. Another generation in Psalms is given 70. And there's another generation, I think it's in Deuteronomy, given for 100 years. And Christ said in his own words, he said, when you see the tree feed bud, you know the summer's nigh.
Fig tree.
Now that's when Israel becomes a nation. Their symbol is a fig tree, it's an olive branch, it's a burning bush. So when Israel became a nation, the generation that was alive when that took place will not pass, they'll not die off before the second advent takes place. So it's been what, 68 years? 68 years. 48, 68 years. Now 67 years, something. Anyway, what I'm telling you, it's close. It's close. Now, I hope the Lord didn't have somebody in mind like Methuselah on this thing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I hope there's not a Methuselah that's going to hang around until them things take place.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a 70-year. It's a 70-year generation. We know it can't be the 42 years because it's already passed. But the next generation is 70, 70 over in Psalms. Hopefully it'll be the 70 year. That means that we only got, it could be two more years. Well, but really, it can't be the 70, really, if you think about it.
How old is the oldest person on earth right now?
I seen something on the news a while back. I think one showed 105.
Oh, I've seen one
112. 104, 105, something like that.
112? Something like that.
Probably ain't but one of them, though.
That's
what I'm saying. It's probably a Muslim. I'm just saying, I don't know.
if it's the 70-year generation, then that messes up the 7-year tribulation. So, I don't know. I'm not going to guess, but I know the King James Bible gives the exact date of the second advent, and we can't pin it down because our calendar's off. One thing that we know for sure, rapture's going to happen. I'm not going to be like the Church of Christ say it's not going to happen. No such thing. Advent's going to happen.
Amen. By strength, fourscore.
Fourscore. There you go. There's a hope. There gives us a little extra hope. Fourscore. I forgot that one. Fourscore. So see, it could happen on that 70-year plus 10-year generation. Hopefully this is the year we get out of here.
Yeah, amen.
Like Derek used to sing.
Yeah,
this could be the year we go home.
Your brother used to sing. Yeah. Your uncle used to sing.
Yeah.
This could be the year we go home.
Right.
I hope that's it. Okay.
Brother, I've got a question real quick. You was talking about the Levites a while ago. I've been on one, been able to build.
Well, they do this temple service.
Right. The service. But anyway, do they know who they are now?
Just
a handful of them, or is it?
Well, there's just a handful. There's a tribe, the whole
exactly
tribe.
Exactly, be the whole tribe at the end.
Right, yeah.
I
don't know how many's in the tribe. There, I don't even know what the population of Jews are now. I think the population of Jews right now is 15 million worldwide. That's not very many.
But I'm just wondering if they knew who they are,
They're training them already. They're already doing full dress rehearsals right now over in Israel. So, hey, you say, what's all that mean? That means that prophecy being fulfilled, and this stuff's about to happen. And before a lot of this stuff happened, we're out of here.
Yeah.
We're out of here. Okay, verse 9. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. Here's another economic statement here. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. They, no matter what they done, they didn't have enough to go around. You know, you ever see a problem like that?
Yeah.
I mean, wait a minute. No, I'm not talking about as far as judgment's concerned. That was judgment. Money problem, because a result of judgment. That's what happened here. They couldn't pay their bills. They just barely had enough money for groceries. You know some good people probably make decent money, but they just can't seem to make ends meet. Now, not all cases it's judgment, but in a lot of cases that's judgment. Judgment on economics. Struggle to make house payment, yeah?
Say something somewhere about putting it in a sack of holes, eh?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they struggle to make a house payment. They made decent money but can't manage it. You know, there's the problem right there, managing it.
Right.
Managing it.
I used to have two or three of them sacks he's talking about. I need more.
They couldn't manage your money. They couldn't make the dollar stretch. Couldn't make the dollar stretch. That was going on, folks. That was going on in 520 BC as a judgment against God's own people because they wouldn't do what he told them to do. You know, that's rough. We looked at verse 6 last week. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but you are not warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. See, there it is. We just looked at that last week.
Yeah.
We looked at that last week. Here's what it amounts to. You leave God out of your budget. Spend all the money on yourself, on your family, on other things. You'll go broke quick.
Right.
You'll go broke quick. I could tell you a lot of stories years ago, after I first got saved, 5 years after I was saved. I didn't even consider the Lord's work. I thought, I can't afford to give the Lord's work.
Yeah.
And I didn't give the Lord's work. And I'll tell you something, buddy. The checks just didn't make it to the next check. Didn't make it to the next check.
Been there and done that.
And I got some good preaching, got some good instruction about supporting the Lord's work, giving God his money, it's all his money.
Right.
Every dime of it's his.
Absolutely.
And so we set out to start supporting the Lord's work, giving to the Lord's work. We've never, ever, ever had a money problem since.
Right.
Never.
We struggle,
and then when we started putting the Lord in our budget.
First thing,
put the Lord in our budget. Never a problem. Not one money problem since.
Right.
A guy preaching the other night by believers. I bought a new guitar a couple of weeks ago. And he plays guitar and he loves the guitar. It's a high dollar guitar. And
you got a good deal.
I got a good deal.
Real
good. All right.
But the Lord let my budget. Lord allowed it in my budget.
Good deal.
And Brother Sean said. Brother Sean said. Something come up about my guitar in the preaching service. And Sean said, there's a lot of difference between me and him. He said, I'll see something and I'll covet after it for about 2 or 3 years. I'll just covet and I want it. He said, not him. He said, he sees something he wants in a month, he's got it.
Yeah.
And one of the guys in the back said, yeah, brother, he don't even covet it.
Yeah.
I said, it's a sin to covet. Just if you want it, go get it.
Yeah.
Hey, Brother Mike.
Yeah.
One time I went to a meeting in a church and I burnt the tires off my car to get there. I went after work to get there back when I had more zeal than I had sense. As soon as I got there, they took up an offer and I only had a $10 bill in my billfold. I had the awfulest battle ever was. When the offering plate came to me, I put that $10 bill in that offering plate and I thought, Lord, I can't even make it home. I don't have enough gas to get home. And the meeting's over and I walked outside, God took me on the back of the shoulder. I turned around, he put some money in my pocket. He said, don't worry about it. God told me to put that in there. I said, I guess there, and I had enough money to get home.
Let me tell you, I'm living proof, and I can, from experience, I can tell you, you keep God in your budget,
right.
He'll take care of your budget.
Yeah,
amen to that.
Tell them about when you had cancer.
Now you may not be rich. You may not wind up with $1 million in the bank. Hey, but you'll have what you need plus.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I doubt there's anybody in here that don't have what they need plus.
Amen to that, brother.
Amen to that.
Now this thing here we're talking about, that was judgment on their money system. Judgment on their money system because they would not do what God told them to do.
You can't outgive God.
He's, you know, if you outgive God, you'll make him a liar.
Right.
You can't outgive. He said you couldn't outgive.
That's right.
And you say, well, you try it sometime.
I wouldn't even want to try it. It's his to start with.
That's right, brother.
You are?
I said, how are you going to outgive him when all
it's his? Yeah, it's all, every dime.
Yeah, all it goes his and silver and cattle and bow and nails.
Every bit of it's his. I told a guy once, I said, boy, the Lord's allowed you to do pretty good in life, make a good living, have a good retirement. He said, oh, God, he never done nothing with me. I worked all my life. I done it myself. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's dangerous territory.
You ain't kidding, buddy.
That's dangerous territory right there.
Bad statement to make.
Bad statement.
It's ignorance at its max, sir.
Huh?
So that's ignorance at its max, sir.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Lord owns it all. Yeah. Lord owns it all.
Tithe is just a start.
Yeah, tithe is a good place to start. Like I like what Brother Jimmy Hood said, tithing's for sissies.
Brother Jimmy, bless his heart.
He's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get going here. Judgment on economics is what we're talking about. Leave God out of your budget, go broke quick.
Yeah, look at America.
Struggle all the time. That, now, that's a fact. That's a fact. Verse 10. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit.
Mm.
You know what that says right there?
Stars.
It says, forget Mother Nature. Forget Mother Nature, no such thing. It's Father God.
That's right, brother.
Father God. You know, God controls every puff of wind.
Every one.
Blows any leaf off a tree. God controls every bit of it.
Every bit.
Every bit of it. Dew. Look, he's there. He said, heaven over you stay from dew. Dew won't even fall when God shuts it off. In Elijah's day, you notice the Bible said there was no rain. There wasn't even any dew. God shut it off. He turned the faucet off. It wasn't Mother Nature, it was God. He shut it off. Just like he's going to do in tribulation.
Yeah.
3.5 years, no rain, no dew. You think what that's going to be like? Think what that's going to be like. 3.5 years, no rain. The earth is stayed from her fruit. Late frost killed fruit trees. Too much rain drowns the crops. Hurricanes and twisters tear things up. Hurricanes and twisters kill people. Snowstorms, ice storms shut down everything. Boy, Mother Nature's rough, ain't it? It ain't Mother Nature. God sends that stuff.
Nahum chapter 1, verse 3.
God sends it. Look what he said. Verse 9. I did blow upon it. He said, I did blow upon it, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11. And I called for a drought. See that?
Yeah.
I called for a drought.
Didn't
weather,
take no...
The weather's controlled by God. All the weathermen can do, they can just kind of look at the results. They can look at a front coming in out of the west. God set the fronts up. They can look at it and watch it, tell you what they think it's going to do. That's all they can do.
They can predict it. They can't produce it.
Yeah, like most of them, they wait for the coming torrential downpour outside, and they said, be 100% chance of rain.
Yeah.
It's kind of obvious.
That's all they can do.
No kid.
That's all they can do.
They said that a storm that came in that movie, it made perfect storm, that tornado, said it's impossible for a storm to come from that direction.
Yeah.
One that God sent to President Bush's door, knocked on the door.
It's impossible for Mother Nature, yeah.
Yeah.
But it ain't impossible for God.
It says scientifically impossible for a storm to come from that direction.
True. God will judge the nation's money, and God will send bad weather's judgment. That's it. The Bible's full of it.
Yeah.
The Bible's full of it. Verse 11. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the old oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the field. That's sure. God, folks.
That's right.
That's the blessed, sweet Jesus we're talking about here.
That's right.
That's the sweet Jesus that loves everybody and don't hate anything, according to the Charismatics and according to Joel Osteen. Hey, he sends the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the floods and the earthquakes. He's in control. People don't know the God of the Bible.
That's right.
They say, you know, they say God wouldn't do that. They see somebody having a rough time, an earthquake, and they say, oh, God wouldn't do that. The devil done that. The devil done that. Well, let me put it, if the devil done it, he had to get permission first.
Absolutely.
From the weatherman.
Yeah.
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 Now.
Yeah, I am weatherman. Yeah.
Amen, brother. Mark.
You know, they'll look at somebody across the sea and say, God wouldn't do that. And then they get in trouble and they say, why did God let that happen? You ever notice that?
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't blame
charging
God.
Charging God foolishly. Charging God foolishly.
Yeah, charging foolishly.
Yeah.
God called for droughts many times in history. And you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Those droughts caused lands to turn into dust bowls. Mountain streams dry up. Corn doesn't ear. New wine or the grape juice dries up. Oil. This oil they're talking about here comes from soybeans, flax seeds, olives. Those things don't produce when God dries them up. Cattle has to be shipped for half price. Men, food prices triple. Y'all notice the grocery's going down any since gas is going down?
Nope, never will either.
Judgment.
Milk's on the thing.
Judgment. God will judge a nation. He'll hit a nation in the billfold.
Yeah.
And he can do it through weather.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Shipping their cattle for half price because they don't have any pasture. That's what goes on.
7 years of plenty.
All the labor. Look, he said, all the labor. The Lord God sent him and the people did fear before him. Verse 11. Upon all the labor. Labor of the hands, jobs shipped out of country. I heard on, I watched Meet the Press this morning. You get a lot, I get a lot of stuff on Meet the Press you don't get in newspapers, magazines, and on the news channel. Trump was arguing, he was setting this news reporter straight. You know, the news media, they won't tell you what's going on. And they talk about the State of the Union, how good the country state was in. And Trump told him, said, that's a lie. He said, the union's in a bad shape. He said there are 80,000 people in this country right now that would love to have a job, but there's no jobs.
Yeah.
They've shipped them all out of the country. There you go. Judgment. That's what that thing is.
He says,
judgment. And I don't know why on the end of the day, I don't know why the guy next door can't get a job. Maybe him and God not in good standing. I don't know. So you don't know what's in the background. God knows everything I don't. But I know a lot of times judgment on a nation. Even good people are affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
Even Christians
oh, yeah.
are affected
because it rained on just on unjust.
True, that's just the way it goes. 10% unemployment is a result of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of people in poverty. That's a result of judgment. God maketh both rich and poor. God maketh both rich and poor.
He's saying
a lot of time that poverty is brought on as a result of judgment. A result of judgment. You take a man, gets paid, blows 75% of his check on whiskey. Judgment's coming for that thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's gonna be in poverty over that thing.
He told wicked Pharaoh he's going to send 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, and Pharaoh didn't understand it. Ended up getting word to Joseph. He interpreted what the message was. And they laid up for 7 years. Before the 7 years of famine, but that's just the mercy of God.
They had somebody that believed God in the book.
Yeah. And I mean, God already told them before that he had mercy in that. He he didn't have to warn them.
True. He probably had mercy because of Joseph, and of course the
Joseph
Jewish people
was the
too
whole
that
reason,
was
yeah.
brought over there.
Yeah.
And
after them locusts and grasshoppers hit him. Talking about Pharaoh, we finally got it then, about the 34th one, but he still didn't really understand.
But he didn't get the full impact. He was a slow learner. He had to go out and drown the Red Sea. But he got it straight after that.
Yeah, that's when it all broke loose on
him. Okay.
Every day of death comes through and killed all the firstborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that got his attention, but still he couldn't stand letting go. He drowned the Red Sea.
You know, there's
movie, Ten Commandments. Pharaoh didn't go back to his palace and whine to his wife. He drowned in the Red Sea. Yeah.
You know, there's chariot wheels in the bottom of the Red Sea, and they filmed them. Guy told me about this website, and I went on, and they went down there, filmed. They land everywhere on the bottom of the Red Sea. Great big four spoke chariot wheels land everywhere.
I knew that before they even filmed.
Well, yeah, I did too. I just wanted if anybody ever went any far as to see about it. They're down there. Yeah.
This more proof that this is true.
Yeah, it's they're there.
It's true. Okay, we're done. We're out of time. We're picking up verse 12 next week. Let me borrow.
Great cloud of witnesses.
Yes, sir.